Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Do you remember the first time you heard about the second coming of Christ? I think I do. I was 7 years old, sitting in Sunday school class in the basement of my Lutheran church in Omaha, and the Sunday school teacher got up and said, "At the end of time, God will float down in the clouds for everyone to see." And I must have thought, wow, because I remember that moment. I was blessed to grow up in a Lutheran church that taught the second coming of Christ, but I learned not everyone was so blessed. In high school, I had a friend named Dana, and he went to the very liberal Congregational United Church of Christ right next door to our high school. So a number of my friends went there. So Dana and I are talking, and I said, "Well, you know, when Christ comes back," he stops me. "What?" I said, "Well, you know, when Christ comes back, He's coming back." And he'd never heard this. A lot of churches never preach on this. And it's everywhere in the New Testament. Just in case you're watching this program and don't know about the second coming of Christ, let's learn today what the Bible teaches about the second coming. Would you open your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 17, and let's pray before we begin. Father, open now the lips of him who speaks and the ears and the hearts of all who listen, that in this hour your word would be spoken and heard and received. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start at verse 20. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees, that's the Jewish religious leaders, as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." I think Jesus is saying, Pharisees, you want to see the kingdom of God? You're looking at him. I'm right here in your midst. There is a future second coming of Christ, a future kingdom of God. But there also is the present tense. Anytime Jesus is working on earth, there's the present tense kingdom of God. And I say this because earlier in the book of Luke, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "If I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So here's the first lesson I want you to get today. When people are curious about the second coming, like the Pharisees here, make sure they know Jesus. You know, if I was to go to your church and say, what Bible book do you want to study this year? Normally the answer is, let's study the book of Revelation, because people are fascinated about the end of time. Even a few years ago, the number one bestseller on the New York Times list was these Left Behind books about the second coming of Christ. Even unbelievers are fascinated by this stuff. But when somebody gets excited about you, you say to them, "Well, that's good, let's talk about the second coming, but first, do you know Jesus? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know him as your Savior?" Look at verse 22. "And Jesus said to the disciples, 'The days shall come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it.'" Here's the next lesson. It's good to long for the second coming. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," you're longing for the second coming. Do you know what the last words of the Bible are? "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." So when you get tired of life and things get rough, it's okay to long for his coming. I love the old spiritual, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure and my hope lie far beyond the blue. where many Christian children have traveled on before, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a Savior there in that great glory land. I don't expect to stop until I take His hand. I know He'll let me in, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's fine to long for the second coming. Verse 23. And they will say to you, look there, or look here. Do not go away. Do not run after them. Here's the next lesson. There will be Christ sightings. Don't believe it. I remember years ago, after Elvis died, people were having Elvis sightings, National Enquirer type stuff. And Elvis is alive and living in Peru. You know, and there will be false Christ sightings. Years ago, I'm talking with a couple followers of the Reverend Sung Myung Moon, the Unification Church. People call them the Moonies. They believe that the Reverend Moon, who was born in Korea in 1920, they believed he was the second coming of Christ. And I said, and he's dead now, but this is years ago. And I said to them, let me show you why he can't be the second coming of Christ. Look at the next verse, verse 24. For just as the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will be the Son of Man in His day. Here's the next lesson. The second coming will be very public. And I said to the Moonies, until the Reverend Moon comes down in the clouds for every eye to see, he's a $3 bill. And he never did that, and now he's dead. So beware of people saying, there's the Christ, or there's the Christ. I can remember years ago, a 12-year-old or so said to me in church, Pastor Brock, when Jesus comes back, what city will he be born in? And I had to explain, the first coming of Christ, he was born in Bethlehem. The second coming of Christ, he's not born on earth again. He comes down in power and glory for every eye to see. Verse 25. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Jesus is predicting his crucifixion. And just as what happened in the days of Noah, so it shall also be in the days of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Here's the next lesson. The world will be oblivious to the second coming of Christ. They'll have no clue that it's about to happen. People will just be living life as normal. I remember years ago, I was sightseeing in downtown Chicago. The sidewalk was full of people, and I got depressed. It seemed so secular, so worldly, and I'm wondering, anybody around here even think about God? I turned the corner. God bless him, here's a black preacher. He's a black man preaching on the corner. And everybody's passing him. I thought, I'm going to linger. And I listened to his message. It was great. He was preaching heaven and hell. You need to come to Christ and be saved before it's too late. It was a wonderful message. But most people were oblivious and they just passed him by. That's the way it will be at the end of time. Verse 28. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Here's the next lesson. The second coming means destruction for the world. I mean, look at the imagery here in these verses. Verse 24, lightning. Verse 27, flood. Verse 29, fire and brimstone. And coming up in a few verses, vultures. I mean, the second coming is good news for Christians. It's destruction for the world. Verse 30. It will be just the same on that day that the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, just like it was, Noah's flood was sudden for most people, Jesus' return will be sudden for most people. So here's the next lesson. Don't assume you will have time to repent. You need to come to Christ now. Don't assume you can do it later. I mean, here I was talking with a high school student about accepting Christ. Well, you know, Pastor, I know you're right. I know it's all true, but I want to have fun first. I'll become a Christian later. I said, you don't know that you'll have time to become a Christian later. And I, you know, the old saying, he who waits till midnight to repent often dies at 11:30. I want to ask you to pray for somebody. I used to know someone who had a wonderful Christian ministry of singing. He came to my church and he sang and he gave his testimony. He was in the homosexual lifestyle for years. He left it, turned from that lifestyle, became a Christian singer. Well, he's gone back to the lifestyle. He's married a man. And you know what his new Christian ministry is? To convince the church that homosexuality is okay. Ooh, you know, I pray for his repentance. You don't know if you're going to have time to repent. He needs to repent now. Verse 31. On that day, the return of Christ, let not the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house go down to take them away. And likewise, let not the one who is in the field turn back. Here's the next lesson. Hold possessions loosely. I mean, the picture here is Christ is coming down and some people are running in their house to get stuff. Corrie Ten Boom said, I have learned to hold everything God gives me loosely so it doesn't hurt so bad when he takes it away. See, that's the way we should be living. Our treasure is in heaven. Let's focus on Jesus so that when our treasure comes down from heaven, we can easily let go of the house, the car, whatever, because he's our treasure. That's what the people in North Korea have to do. North Korea is probably the worst place on earth to be a Christian, and they hold everything very loosely. I'm going to read this. It's going to be hard to listen to this, but here we go. North Korea has created a reign of terror to crush any religious belief that might challenge the godlike authority of leader Kim Jong-il. The mere possession of a Bible can bring a death sentence. One eyewitness told investigators he saw five Christian church leaders being executed by being run over by a steamroller in front of a crowd. The underground church leaders were told, if you abandon religion and serve only Kim Jong-il, you will not be killed. None of the five said a word. Some of the fellow parishioners who were assembled watched the execution, and they cried, they screamed out, they fainted, when the skulls made a popping sound as they were crushed beneath the steamroller. The country's official histories claim that when Kim Jong-il was born on Mount Paektu, a sacred mountain, a double rainbow appeared in the sky, along with a single bright star to herald his birth. North Korean newspapers have carried stories claiming North Korean sailors have been saved at sea from terrible storms simply by gathering on deck to sing the praises of Kim Il-sung. Hold everything loosely, including your life. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Now, here's the next lesson. Don't look back. You remember the story? It's 2000 BC. God says, Lot, get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Take your wife and children. Judgment is coming. But don't look back. And so Lot and his family are escaping from the city. And Lot's wife, maybe she's yearning for sin, yearning for Sodom. She turns around, looks, and turns into a pillar of salt. When it comes to your old sin life, your old evil desires, don't look back. Just force ahead. I knew a man who I think was sober for 20 years till the end of his life. He had a rip-roaring drinking problem. But he went to his AA group every Friday night because his point to me was, if I don't, I start looking back. And I want to encourage, if there's something that's gripped you, do whatever you have to get help so you don't look back and get destroyed. one of the best sightseeing places in the world. I was able to go to Pompeii. 79 AD, Vesuvius erupts, Pompeii gets covered, and then they excavated Pompeii, about 200-300 years ago, and they found people in their last moments. A lot of people escaped from Pompeii, but here's a woman caught holding her apron with jewels in her apron, and she was caught that way for eternity. Hold everything loosely. Don't look back. When it comes to your old sin life, run as fast as you can. Verse 33. Whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall preserve it alive. I tell you, that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, and the other will be left. So here's the next lesson. Salvation is personal. Families will be separated at the second coming. I mean, a husband and wife are in bed. One gets caught up to salvation. The other is left for judgment. I mean, much as we want our loved ones to be saved, and we pray for your daughter, your husband, your child, much as we want our unsaved loved ones to come to Christ, at the end of the day, you have to personally have faith in Christ. Your wife's faith won't save you. A father came to me and he said, you know, Pastor Tom, my college son just came home and told me that he's gay. And we're a Christian family. My wife and I pleaded with him. We want to see you in heaven with your sisters. Don't go down that road, because 1 Corinthians 6 says, fornicators, idolaters, homosexuals don't go to heaven. And then they brought me into it, and I went to the young man. I pleaded with him, you don't want to go down that road. But it was heartbreaking. But you know what made me so angry? I'm a Lutheran pastor. You know what made me angry? You know who told this college student that homosexual behavior is okay? Two Lutheran pastors. Yourself have to have faith. Your parents' faith can't save you. Verse 37. In answering, the disciples said to Jesus, "Where, Lord? Where will these people go?" And he answered them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." Now, what does that verse mean? It's obscure. We're not totally sure what it means. I read various commentators, and here's the best guess, I think. Here's the last lesson. Judgment comes upon the spiritually dead. Wherever the spiritually dead are gathered, the vultures are going to come. There's going to be destruction. That will happen at the end of time. It happens now, too, today. In the past, on this TV program, I've told you that I used to be part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America until it went bonkers unbiblical. And I've told you about the teen gathering a few years ago. 31,000 teenagers, Lutheran teenagers, come to their assembly, their convention. The ELCA put an 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl on stage to promote transgenderism. Then they brought a woman on stage to promote homosexuality. Well, they just had their most recent ELCA teen gathering. 16,000 showed up. Not 31,000, 16,000. And the ELCA Lutheran Church, the United Methodist Church, PCUSA Presbyterian, these once biblical churches are just shrinking. I went to Luther Seminary, an ELCA seminary here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Last year, they hired a queer theologian. Luther has had to sell off buildings. Two of the Lutheran seminaries in Pennsylvania shrunk, and they had to merge them. Their new president is a practicing homosexual. I mean, these churches that are abandoning Scripture are dying and shrinking, and they should, because wherever the spiritually dead are, there the vultures will gather. I mean, I thought of France. Many years ago, France was a very Catholic country. Lots of people went to church in France. Today, the cathedrals are almost empty. And recently, France became the first nation in history to put in its national constitution the right to abortion. And people rejoiced. Well, you know what's happening in France now? They're having a Muslim problem. Muslims are pouring into France. There have been a lot of violence against Christianity. And you know what I'm thinking? God says, okay, France, you don't want me? You get Islam. All right. Let us summarize what all this means. Here is what we have learned today. When people are curious about the second coming, make sure they know Jesus. It's good to long for the second coming. There will be Christ sightings, don't believe it. The second coming will be very public. The world will be oblivious to the second coming, and it will mean destruction for the world. Don't assume you'll have time to repent. Come to Christ now, and don't hold your possessions tightly. Don't look back. Salvation is personal, and judgment will come upon the spiritually dead. One last point. I saw a funny cartoon, and it's a man standing before the pearly gates next to his car. And St. Peter says, okay, your car can come in. Nope, hold your car loosely, hold everything loosely, and like North Korea, even hold your life loosely so you can cling to Christ when he comes. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question is, I am well versed in the Bible and prophecy. I have many books and DVDs on the subject. As an ordained minister, you're responsible to teach the truth in the Bible. Am I right about that? The rapture and second coming are two separate events, 7 years apart.
Well, let me explain this. This person doesn't like the fact that I think Christians will be on earth until the second coming. There is a teaching, now you're getting my point of view, that a woman had a vision in New England in the 1800s, early 1800s, that Christ would take all the Christians up to heaven 7 years before the second coming. It's called the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That teaching made its way into the Scofield Bible study notes. But Mona, for 2,000 years, Christians have believed the way they've understood the Bible is we're here till the second coming. So I don't believe you and I will disappear 7 years before Christ comes back. I think we'll go through the tribulation and Christians will even lose their lives for the sake of Christ. I don't believe in the pre-tribulation. I think the second coming is when we go up. I believe in the rapture. Rapture means caught up. I think we'll be caught up when Christ comes down, not 7 years before that. Now, there are Christians who are better Christians than me that believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I don't agree. I think they're wrong. But this is not a salvation issue. And sometimes I get letters that I'm a false teacher because I don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Sorry. No. Okay.
All right.
There's my thought.
Our son is attending a church that his girlfriend goes to, and they speak in tongues. Is this okay? We come from a Lutheran Catholic background and has never really heard of anything about that.
Well, then read 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14. One of the 19 gifts of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, where you speak in a language that you don't understand. Mm-hmm. And you just, it's kind of your prayer language maybe. So I think it's fine. I think it's biblical. You don't want to be part of a church like the Pentecostal churches, like the Assemblies of God. They're normally fine. But there's a branch called United Pentecostalism. You have to speak in tongues in order to be saved, which is nonsense. We're saved by the cross of Christ, not by you speaking in tongues. They also don't believe in the Trinity properly. They believe Jesus only is, stay away from United Pentecostalism. But, you know, speaking in tongues is biblical. Christians of various denominations do so.
And that's a gift, right? That the
it's
Holy
one
Spirit
of the gifts.
Can, okay.
Yeah, but it's not the gift that saves anybody. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. I'm 75 years old. Over the years, I have purchased and received many Bibles, so many that I need to part with some of them now. I've always been taught to respect the Bible. Therefore, my question is how to respectfully do this. Some are old, torn, and others are like new.
Well, if you can take the new Bibles and give them away, great. If Bibles are falling apart, it's not a sin to throw a Bible away. Mm-hmm. God bless. You know, there's the old saying we've used on this show, the Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Mm-hmm. I love that. So just if your Bible's falling apart, it's okay to throw it away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stop coming down on those of us who can't get to church. I am homebound and in my late 80s. It hurts and makes me angry to hear you tell me I need to attend a church to know God and get fellowship.
Well, here's my response. If you absolutely can't get to church because you're shut in, God understands. Mm-hmm. I agree. But it then would still be nice for someone from your church to come out periodically and give you Holy Communion.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't think you and the TV set is Christian fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage everybody that watches this show, this is not your church. Every Christian is to be part of the church. Oh, but I can't get out. I'm 85. Okay, God understands.
Mm-hmm.
But see if you can get somebody to bring you communion or come visit you and pray with you, because that's nice.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
My wife passed away, and a neighbor of mine said that mediums are evil. They're part of the devil, and she's quoting scripture and everything. And I can't believe that, because mediums are bringing hope. If you get a true medium that can actually talk to your loved one, I think that's the way of healing. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a man who I think is getting messages from his dead wife through a medium.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? No. Let me read you the verse. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. There shall be found among you no one who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, that's child sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
and no one who uses divination, who practices witchcraft, or who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or someone who calls up the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we should try to be getting messages from our dead wife. That's an abomination.
Mm-hmm. And another verse, Leviticus 19:31. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them.
Yeah. And what, you know, when you see these psychics on TV, Christians are not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right? Exactly.
Yep.
I'm a member of a Free Methodist Church in Kansas. We have a female pastor. I am torn at times when I think about what the Bible says about women preaching over men. She is a wonderful pastor, and I don't really want to change churches. They believe in preaching what the Bible says, and they change nothing. What do you advise?
Okay, there's the Free Methodist Church, and there's the United Methodist Church. The United Methodist Church is very liberal. They just voted to ordain practicing homosexuals. It's become really bad, the United Methodist. The Free Methodists are much more biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Would I go to a church that has a woman as the preacher over the church? I wouldn't, because of 1 Timothy 2 says men should be taught by adult men, not by a woman. So I personally could not go to that church, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Mona, we're out of time. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week on The Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.